verse 37 and 38. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." I'm going to pray here just a moment, and we'll begin. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to share your word once again. I pray, dear Lord, that you would have your way in this service, dear God. Accomplish your will, dear God. Let it not just be fulfilling a requirement, dear Lord, but to use it for your eternal honor and glory. Let us each receive that which you have prepared for us tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, every situation, every community, every society has its own little culture, things that kind of set it apart. The seminary that I attended was very different. Bridget's laughing. She'd tell you, oh, they were cult members. But they really weren't. They just people who on fire for Jesus. Maybe too a little extreme. Yes, I acknowledge that. But they had this chapel. This was the little chapel. The little chapel seated 550 people. And they exceeded that routinely. 550 people. They had wooden pews. They had, you know, they were covered in red cloth. They had a balcony or foyer, you know, over top of the foyer where they literally packed people in almost to the rafters of this church. And the church had a big open ceiling, big wood beam down the front of it. And really, they would count. You know how people are of different sizes? But they wanted to pack 10 people into every pew. So the ushers would come down the aisle, and they would be counting people. And they'd have somebody with them. And they would push people, like, hey, everybody move over. So everyone scrunched in there, and they would try to fit more people in there. They would set up folding chairs down the rows and in the back. Well, Bible school students, nearly every one of them called to preach. What did they want to do? Preach. When did they get a chance to preach? Not very often. Some of them never did while they were in Bible school. Be there for 2.5, 3 years and never got a chance to preach. Why? So many people. Never had a chance to preach. But I mean, there was a whole set of expectations for a chance to preach. For young men, can anybody possibly guess what the motivation might have been? Especially young single men. Jeremiah's laughing. Yeah, that young woman that come to Bible school, she wants to marry herself a preacher. Somebody that she can go somewhere and listen to that joker preach for 30 years and never grow tired of listening to him preach. So, the better you preached, the better your chances at marital success. Kind of an odd motivation. I mean, not unfathomable motivation, but it was true. And there was all kinds of advice that people would give young aspiring preachers. If you're up here preaching, try to preach at the women. Because if you preach into the women and they would get excited, they would be all in your corner, you know. They would be getting on board with you, you know. Hey, man, go ahead, brother. But if you were preaching to the men, you know, you're preaching and you're going at them in exactly the same fashion, and they're thinking, I could do better than that. I'm sitting on my hands because that guy is just tearing up that scripture. I would do better than that. I mean, that's really, you know, they would tell people this, you know. If you can start to stumble, switch over and preach at the women. And they actually had the women segregated, you know, so that way there was no chance of flirtation or whatever going on, you know, it's spiritual. I don't agree with that. That was part of the community, part of the culture. But there were all these expectations there. And, you know, we're talking about young aspiring ministers. Some of them get up there and drowning. Oh my goodness. Maybe it's the first time they ever faced 500 and some people. And all of a sudden the nerves would get to them. And they would start trembling and shaking. And they're holding on to the pulpit. And the pulpit's shaking. And you're like, oh Lord, help them. I was there for a long time before I finally, ooh, there it is. My name's on the list. I get a chance to preach. Ooh, Saturday night. Which was closed to the public, just the Bible school students are going to be there. But I had this message. this message. I'd had it for about a year. We had been burning. I would preach it driving to work. I'd be preaching it at work, digging in a ditch, or whatever I was doing. If I had had free time for my mind, I would be expounding upon this message, you know. And when I actually got a chance to preach it, I composed this outline in like 10 minutes. Because it was already in my heart. All I needed was, I actually had to submit an outline. You heard it in an outline. It had to fit on a folded piece of paper. You had one, you made a second copy, exactly. Not a photocopy, exact typewritten copy. You handed one to the fellow on the podium. You know, he was up here behind you. And he could cut you off. Brother, that's unscriptural. Sit down. And he could. You're done. Sit down. Ooh, that'll put your hair in a curl. I mean, my goodness. All kinds of pressure. All your peers, everybody out there, you know. You don't want to be thought poorly of. You don't want to, you know, not succeed. Well, I had this chance. Everyone would be looking around. Who's preaching tonight? We all look like Bible school students. We had to wear a suit, white shirt, tie. So we all had to be prepared any night we went to church. Couldn't go to church without being prepared to preach. But, you know, if you were going to preach, you knew, you know. So I sit down. I get the end of the pew because I don't want to have to try to get out in the middle of 10 people packed in there, right? I sit down. As soon as I sit down, man, I start to get a little dry. Man, I'm not confident. I know. I was in the Marine Corps, right? I told you earlier about confidence that it builds in you, but, you know, it's going to go good, you know. I'm sitting there, and this brother sits down to me and goes, hey, do you know who's preaching tonight? And I kind of nonchalantly, you know, threw on my Bible. It's like, ooh. He goes, are you thirsty? I bet your mouth is dry. I didn't say anything. I started laughing because, you know, I knew who was preaching. I finally go through the singing and everything. I get called up to the pulpit, share my text, and I give the title. Are you thirsty? I hear that brother. He's just dying. He almost falls out of the pew laughing like, oh yeah, this is going to be good, you know. And I still remember his name, Brother Ham. I don't remember his first name, but his last name was Ham. How can you forget a name like that? How did you do, brother? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Thirst is frequently used in the Bible, a metaphor for spiritual hunger. Did you know that if you were going to die of starvation or thirst, you could go 40 days, Jesus did, without food? Matter of about 3 days, you will die without water. It is one of the most basic needs of your body besides air. You cover somebody's breathing apparatus, they will suffocate quickly. We just had the word in the news. A young boy, his parents decided to discipline him by depriving him of water. Anybody else hear that? He died. How tragic is that? You cannot go without water. Ridge is looking at me like, why'd you share that? Because it drives home the point. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. Without partaking of this spiritual water, you will die. Your body may continue to live, but your spiritual man, your inner person, will shrivel up and die. It's just that simple. Anybody ever loved to watch cartoons? Saturday morning growing up, I loved cartoons. I love the WB, the Warner Brothers, Looney Tunes. And everybody had favorites, right? Anybody have a favorite? Porky Pig, Sylvester, Wile E. Coyote, Yosemite Sam. I had a favorite one that was, I liked it a lot. But anyways, and it was actually a theme that would recur. But one of them would get separated and they'd be like in the desert, right? And they'd be like crawling through the sand. And one of them would always look at the camera, water. And then they would look up in the distance and they would see this mirage. And it wouldn't just be a typical mirage. You know, it'd be palm trees and then a lake. But they would see like a soda stand, right? So they would, woohoo, yeah, you know, Daffy Duck or whoever, he'd run up there and he'd sit on one of the little stools, you know, and order him up a sarsaparilla. They always do drink sarsaparilla. What's sarsaparilla? I have no idea, but that's what they drink in the Looney Tunes cartoons, right? And they would get this sarsaparilla and it was looked all wonderful, and they'd go to throw it back, and what would it be? Cup full of sand. It was a mirage. It didn't really exist. It was something that you perceived in the distance. It looked good. It looked like it would be something to satisfy you. But when you achieved it, it wasn't any different from what you were already accustomed to. You know, in the distance, you actually see those things. Especially if you're looking across heat. There's heat raising off. I always think of the tarmac. I was in the Marine Corps. I worked along the flight line. Well, if you were looking down the tarmac, don't knock the mic off your ear. If you're looking down the tarmac, you couldn't even see the other end of it. Because all you could see was about 4 foot of heat wave rising up there. And if you look at it, and you didn't know what you were looking at, it really does look like water. People who are out in the desert, and they see these mirages, they really will expire, going deeper and deeper into the desert, believing that they're going towards water. Proverbs 27:7 says, "The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet." When you have an abundance of water, you're not going to chase mirages in the distance. You're not going to expend your energy going towards something that's false. When you have an abundance of life or abundance of food, it's saying here, it's likening it to food. If you've got a full belly, a honeycomb doesn't look good to you. You're full of food. What do you desire? You don't want anything. Push back from the table. I've had enough. I couldn't eat another piece of fried chicken if you tried to stuff it in my face. I got to that point today. I'm done. No more fried chicken. But when you're hungry, I mean really, really, really hungry, just about anything looks good. I walked in the restaurant today. I didn't want anything sweet. But the first table I walked by, somebody had been eating French toast. Syrup and butter and cinnamon been fried on the bread. Oh, it smelled so good. Now, when I sat down and ordered, did I order French toast? No, I didn't really want French toast. But when I was hungry, sure sounded good. Ooh, I'd like to have some of that. Hunger, thirst. It's tantamount. It's contingent upon what condition you are in. When you're full of righteousness, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, when you're walking in the Spirit, what of the world can draw you out? What can cause you to chase after it? Nothing, I tell you. Why? Because you're full of living water already. Jesus is the living water. Whosoever shall drink of this water, natural water, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4:13-14. My text referred to the living water that shall flow from us. Christ filling us from the sole of our feet to the top of our head. When Christ comes in, all the wretched things of this life have to go. You get full of the living water, there's no room for bitterness, there's no room for racism, there's no room for hate, there's no room for vengeance, there's no room for backbiting, gossiping. Why? Because you're full of that living water. It has a different property. Like oil and water don't mix. You get that living water in your body, in your soul, in your spirit. All of the oil and stuff that won't mix with it have to be pushed out. Have to be expelled. Christ in you, the hope of glory. When Jesus comes in, hope comes in. Joy comes in. Power comes in. And the Bible, I know there's another version, I think it's in NIV, but it says, Christ in you, your hope of glory. That's not what it says in the King James Version. It says, hope of glory. Why? Because it's not just your hope. It's the hope of all mankind. When people see somebody who's truly born again, truly walking a Christian experience, it gives them hope. I am truly convinced that when people try you and try to tempt you and try to get you out of the way, they're really secretly hoping that you'll stand. Why? Because they want to believe that it's possible to come out of the sin and the mess that they're in, and they're hoping that somebody can show them how. Christ in you, the hope of glory. How can I get this living water, brother? Ask Jesus into your heart, acknowledge your sin, and accept Jesus. Don't be hindered. You know, if you were trapped in this hypothetical desert we were talking about earlier, and you were thirsty, your throat was dry, your lips were cracked, you didn't even have the water in your moisture in your eyes to create tears, your skin was parched, your skin was cracked from the heat, and somebody offered you a glass of water, an ice-cold glass of water. Imagine the beads of water condensation on the side of it, a little glass with the ice tinkling in it. You think you'd refuse it? Huh? Think, no, I'll just keep walking. I'll keep crawling through this hot sand until somebody else offers me a glass of water. Surely there's more than one glass of water in the desert, right? People have that attitude about God, though. They're dying of thirst. The Holy Spirit comes by and offers them the living water, and they say, no, there's got to be more than one way to heaven. Surely there's got to be another road that leads there. Why do I need a drink of that water? That's not the water that I want. Sounds ludicrous. People do it all the time. Why? Here it is, living water, life-sustaining substance, can make your life renewed, can deliver you from all the afflictions that you're undergoing. Why would you refuse it? In the book of Acts, Philip preached Jesus to a eunuch. He climbed up to him. Eunuch was there. He was reading the book of Isaiah. Philip said, hey, you know what you're reading? Philip said, I don't really know. I mean, I try. But how can you know? It's after you have a teacher. So he invited Philip up in there. Philip expounded the scripture unto him. He taught him Christ from Isaiah. What was the response of this eunuch? This was a man of power. This was a man who, with his free time, with his leave, with his chance to get away from his queen, what did he do? He went to Jerusalem to seek out God. He's a eunuch from Ethiopia who spoke Hebrew, was able to read the Holy Scriptures. He wasn't an ignorant fellow. He was a man given under authority. He probably had the authority to say, who are you to get in my chariot? Off with his head. He probably did have that kind of authority. I would assume that he was traveling in a chariot. He probably had soldiers around him too. What was his response? They came by some water. And he said, see, wait, stop the chariot. Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized right now? Not let's go to the next water hole. Right now. Here, I am willing to accept Jesus Christ. I want to be saved. You baptize me. I will pray. I will receive Jesus right now. He didn't wait. He wasn't waiting for a better opportunity, somebody to bring him a different way to God. He said, this is the true living water, and I'm going to have it. Right now. Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. That's John 6:37. You cannot bring yourself to Jesus in sincerity and receive anything but salvation. Jesus said, I will in no wise cast him out. You can't come up with a hypothetical circumstance where Jesus would reject somebody. He said it himself. I won't cast you out. You come to me, I will give you everlasting life. All you have to do is come. It's the living water. So I leave you with one question, the title of this message. Are you thirsty? Aren't you tired of chasing mirages? Aren't you tired of the sand and grit of the world in your teeth? Aren't you tired of chasing things that don't satisfy? Tonight, you do not have to leave out of here the same way you came in. You can leave out of here full of that living water and ready to share it with other folks. Are you thirsty tonight? Now I'm looking around. I'm through preaching, brother.